What is the best way for people watching at home to get started now? What should they do with this information? What is the best way for them to get this out? And then also on the tail end of that, how can people find out more about you and your work online?
Well, the webpage we have for CE4 is ce4research.com. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, I stay a little more live on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called CE4 Research. Also, there's a MUFON page that that I'm working with called MUFON Global. And it's got about 33,000 members right now. It's one that I'm working with on a regular basis. We tried to get an actual Facebook page that's supported by MUFON headquarters, and we were able to do that. So there's a lot of people that you can talk to and try and share this information with in a group that's very well founded on doing the actual MUFON Global page for that. But it, specifically on the CE4 research side, you want to talk to me or the more focused on the research that we do, it's the CE4 Research Facebook page. The testimonies. I try to post the testimonies as much as I can on the webpage. Any of the new ones come in, I tend to use Facebook a little more. So the evidence of being able to stop these experiences is in the testimonies themselves of people who have been able to have a life change of terminating this experience through a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. That's the number one most powerful evidence in the world today that shows who these entities are behind this phenomenon, that they can be stopped through that name, okay? That's those personal testimonies. That's what CE4 research has found. Now, let's take that. Look at the work that Louis Elizondo is talking about. Look at his talks. He describes this signature that they're finding. Understand what he's talking about so you can share this with others and take this and tie it in together. Look at scripture when it talks about dealing with angels. But anytime you've got angels that are appearing, look at the effects that happen with them. Understand what God's doing with this and give them be able to share the simple gospel message and the understanding of what he wants from us. And I have to bring that up because I downloaded Mike Heiser's book, What Does God Want?
Oh,
and I
yeah.
tell you, that is very powerful, very simple. And I suggest everybody get that and read that because it gives you an ability to simply share what God is all about and what he wants from us. I think that is one of the best avenues I've seen for being able to witness with people. But remember, everybody around us right now, more than half the world is involved in this UFO phenomenon in some manner of focus, some manner of belief, some manner of being hit with advertisements that use UFO stuff. I mean, it's everywhere, okay? You have an opportunity right now to use that to your advantage, to be able to share with people, hey, these are only the lesser gods. There's a bigger God behind all of this. Okay, and these lesser gods aren't looking out for you. You may think you're having good experiences with these entities, but believe me, they will turn in the end. They are deceiving you. You can't even get them in an answer of where they come from. You know, most people that say, yes, I'm having, you know, spiritual encounters with these entities, they don't even know where they're from. They can't even tell you where they're from. You challenge them with the name and authority of Jesus Christ, you'll know where they come from because they have to bow to that name every time.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. And it's the same with demonic attacks. It's the same with anything from the enemy. And that's how we know that they're all from the same evil source. Anybody, if you have a question for Joe Jordan, go ahead and put it in the chat now. Now is the time. We are officially into viewer questions and answers. So you can ask Joe or myself anything that you like. This would be the time to do it. Put it in the chat. I am keeping an eye on it. Yes, thank all of you for joining us. And if you want a super chat, you can, but I'm keeping an eye on the chat looking for any questions at all. So you don't have to super chat to get your question answered. That's the point there. So if you have a question, feel free to put it in. A lot of people, Joe, I think you've blown everybody's minds. Like a lot of people, they're agreeing with you. They're saying, you know, this is all amazing and mind blowing stuff. And, you know, it's time to get busy, and it's time for, you know, us as Christians to go out and really spread the gospel to the world, because, you know, this has been something that, by and large, Christians haven't really had an answer for, you know, what to do about the alien abduction phenomena or the UFO phenomena, especially when if they leave behind these signatures like this. You know, how could we ever compete with that? What types of answers could we ever give? But this is it. I mean, like you said, official disclosure for Christians has happened. We have the answer. They're not aliens. They're not, you know, spaceships from another planet. They're demonic. Yeah. They're fallen angelic entities. It's a manifestation. Yes. I like how you said that it's a manifestation event. It's not, it's not a UFO like experience or something. It's a manifestation event. And that's what happens when they breach our realm. Let's see if this is a question. That is a statement, but thank you for the statement. We have one question. Yeah, go ahead.
There's another event, and there was a gal there that spoke at the symposium that described the actual event happening. She was part of it. It's the aerial school event in Africa that happened in the 1990s. Look that up, because they're getting ready to do a film on that, a documentary film they're trying to produce right now. She was one of the school children. She was at the symposium. And she describes her experience. And when you listen to her describe the experience of seeing these entities and being involved with them right there on that playground at that school, she's describing exactly that same event. She's describing that Oz factor. And I had to ask the question later in the conference when Travis Walton spoke, because I've talked with him, and I've listened to his story over and over and over, but I couldn't put enough to where I believe that was what had happened was a true event in the aspect of it was something more than just something that happened in the mind. Right. And I had to ask him that question. And when I got up there after his talk, I had an opportunity to ask that question. I said, Travis, I need to take you back to the moment that you guys were seeing the light in the trees and you stop the vehicle and you got out. Stop right there. Stop right there. Think for a moment. Tell me what you heard. Were there any sounds? Was the wind blowing? Anything. And there should have been. There should have been cicadas going. There should have been birds. There should have been wind rustling in the trees. Absolutely silent.
Mm.
Boom. That right there confirmed me that without a doubt, Travis had been involved in a true experience. Okay? He was right there in that bubble. What happened after that? I don't know. But at that moment, he was involved in that time-space distortion.
Wow. Yeah, and that you hear that from some abductees that you know, sound seems to stop. And I've never thought about that before, but that's absolutely true. You know, I've researched quantum physics and stuff, and I understand, you know, what little we humans can, you know, about time and stuff. But if you're in an environment where time is slowing down like that, sound itself, it would get to the point where you can't hear it anymore. That's absolutely correct. We got a question. Actually, we got quite a few here, but so Get Silent Night is asking, some flying crafts we reverse engineered, some are demons. Do you feel there is a third possibility? So I think just generally about the flying crafts themselves, do they all fall into one camp, or are they kind of separate? Are some material and some immaterial? How do you parse all that out?
If it's material, it's man-made.
Right.
Okay. If it's immaterial, which is very hard to discern And I just came across a testimony that was just sent to me where they were talking about having visual sightings. And when they see the actual craft, it looked to be metallic. Well, during one of the sightings that they had, they were actually able to get their hands on a set of high-powered binoculars. And when they were able to take the binoculars and zoom in on the craft that appeared to be metallic, solid metallic, as it zoomed in, it became transparent. What we're seeing here in these manifestations aren't a manifestation of every nuts and bolts into the craft. It's into the delusion of us seeing the craft. These entities, and Dr. David Allen Lewis talked about this in his book, UFO End Time Delusion, which was written back in the 70s. Okay, he's got a chapter in there called Flatland, and he tries to describe what the effect is from an entity that's spiritual coming in and leaving an imprint on a two-dimensional realm, three-dimensional to two-dimensional.
Yeah, I've written about that too.
And that's the same thing we're dealing with, but we're dealing with four-dimension to three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And what does that seem like? How would we describe that? And that's what we're having trouble with, is describing what we're seeing, because it's not third-dimensional, okay? It's a bubble that's coming into our realm, but not actually our realm. They're inside of this distortion, okay? These entities can manifest physical atoms, molecules, whatever, to make things appear of what they need. But they're not created. They don't create. Only God creates. But these can manipulate, okay? Keep in mind, when God's angels came, were they wearing clothes? God, of course, he probably made the clothes. But these other angels, fallen angels, when they come, they've got to be able to appear in a way that we're not frightened if they're out to try and deceive us in any way. Otherwise, we're just going to run off from them. But they've got to be able to manipulate what's available for their purpose during a manifestation. And that's what's happening. They're manipulating matter to look like what we need to see. Remember, it's all delusion. It's all about making us believe a lie. Okay? Whatever it takes for us to believe the lie. That's what this phenomenon is about.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. Truth 101 is asking a question. Are the aliens hybrids or Nephilim? What are the supposed aliens themselves? What do you think, Joe?
I mean, you got to go back to scripture. And scripture tells us who we war against. It didn't tell us we're warring against anybody but Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Absolute, final, right there. There's no physical entities that we're warring against. Who we do war against, which are principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm. Okay? We're dealing against a spiritual entity that can manifest and give the appearance of a physical entity when needed. But this whole concept, and I know I'm going to make people angry on this one, but I got to stand my ground on it, because I dealt with this realm for many, many years. I used to be part of the whole Nephilim belief part. But when I came to understand where that was coming from, I had to say, nope, I can't stand by that. I don't believe there's any physical aspect to the abduction experience. They leave physical marks. They leave things that appear to have been done by physical beings. But it's all part of make us believe what we need to believe. They want us to believe. The whole idea of hybrids came from looking at the research of Dr. David Jacobs, secular researcher into abductions. He did hypnotic regressions on many people that talked about a hybridization program that was happening during the experiences. Babies were being created. People were seeing it. The whole works. Okay, keep in mind, all of these were taken from testimony of people who came to him because, I've had these dreams. And are just like those movies I saw on alien abduction. I might be an abductee. I need to go talk to somebody. So you go talk to your doctor, right? He's going to put you away or put you on some meds. So you're not going to go see your doctor and tell him these things. Amazing that nobody does that, right? So right. They go and search out a person who's going to listen to them and believe them. So they listen carefully. These people have already convinced themselves that they're abductees. They want to go talk to somebody that's going to confirm it for them. And that's what happens. If you look how hypnosis works, and I look at these, look at the hypnotherapist like Jacobs, I've looked at his, you know, research. I don't see him. The people have already led themselves by coming to him in the first place. They've already put the suggestion in their heads that they're experiencers. And they're going to give this guy everything that he needs to hear so that he can turn around and say, yes, you're an abductee. So I believe the whole thing is very similar to the way hypnosis works. It's all about suggestion. Suggestion is coming at us from everywhere in society. TV, Hollywood, books, magazines, everything is coming at us about UFOs. Okay? You have a dream and you go see Whitney Strieber and his talk, he's going to convince you right away you're a believer. Just because you got a mark on your body, you can't remember where you got it from. Right. All of this is through suggestion. So all of the research on hybrids, all of the information on hybrids has come from what I call flawed secular research into abductions. Because there's no evidence for it except for testimony under hypnotic who have already put it in their minds that they're abductees. Okay, all of that was taken and used in the beginning back in 97 when Chuck Metzler wrote his book, and he made the similarity between as in the days of Noah from Genesis 6 and as in days of today with Dr. David Jacobs. You put the two together, it looks awful similar. But the thing is, the abductions are based on flawed secular research. The idea of hybrids are based on flawed secular research. So do I believe that the Nephilim could be accounted for as being here today? No, because I think it's all flawed in the way the research was done. That connection's not a good connection, okay? 25 years of research in abductions, I don't see the evidence of a physical experience. Nobody actually being taken anywhere. It's so much like a hypnotic trance and a hypnotic experience, the actual event itself, is mind-blowing. And I've been studying hypnosis and the way it works. And if you look at hypnosis and research it and look at what they call the induction, which pulls the person into the experience, you watch street hypnosis and the way they work. First thing they do is grab the person's hand and do this. The guy goes right out. That's an induction. Another one is taking it and jerking their hand. That shakes your mind. It confuses you, and it instantly puts you in that ability to be, you know, worked with. Okay, you know, the same thing happens to us in our sleep. People talk about what they call that sleep paralysis.
Oh yeah,
where that happens. Most of us can remember at some point when we were sleeping, where you instantly wake up because you had this feeling you were falling. Okay. Well, the mind has a fix for that. A mind has a fix where you're not going to fall out of bed and hurt yourself. It lets you catch yourself. That is the same as an induction in hypnosis. So that's happening while we're sleeping. So at that moment that the body gets that jolt, that induction experience by the body naturally catching itself, that's an opportunity for your mind to go in and give you any story it wants to, or these entities to be able to give any story they want to give you. And that's what I'm seeing this abduction experience to be like. It's like you're being put into a play, okay? The question is, who's the playwright? And the playwright, I believe, are these demonic entities. But when you're in a play, picture a play in school where you had to be part of, they make the setting to where it's recognizable that, like, you're in a living room or you're in a dining room sitting at a table. But you know what? In reality, if you were actually home in your living room or in that dining room, there would be more things there than what was in the play, because the play only uses to give you familiarity. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is what I see in the hip, in the abduction experience, because I started questioning people about their experience. If I questioned you about your birthday, your last birthday, I could ask you enough questions that you would actually experience, you could remember every one of your senses during that event.
Right.
Okay. Probably, if I just asked you right away, you wouldn't remember them all. But I know how to ask you the right questions to get you to remember every one of your senses, because they were all active and they're all recorded. But when I went back and started talking to the abductees again about their experiences more in depth, I found that maybe only two of the senses were recorded. Only enough to make it sensational, only enough to make it memorable, and make it shocking.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
That's telling me that wasn't a real experience. Because in a real life experience, all of the senses are recorded. And I'm not seeing that in an experience. Two, three, maybe. But there's always something missing. That's a play. That's not reality.